Technorama episode 626, Shuttle Up. Welcome to Technorama. This is the podcast that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. I don't think I've ever said it that way before.
I know. You turn it into Shatner.
That was dramatic pauses. If you have a podcast app that takes white spaces out, probably sounded normal.
I can do that in post.
But in double speed, hang on, kids.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona. And joining me right there across from the virtual table is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing well. Doing fantastic, Ashley.
Good, good. You have a good week?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Productive at work. Got some stuff done. So this weekend's been kind of lazy, but that's all right.
I had a productive week. I had a productive weekend, and we have a day off from work tomorrow for Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and I'm going to have a productive day.
My wife doesn't know that.
So you're going to work. we were off for a walk, and Donna says, are you working tomorrow? I said, no, it's a day off. She says, are you working tomorrow?
Yeah.
I said, well, I'm going to produce an episode of Podcasting for Dummies, and while I'm at it, I have to finish up some, because that has to be out on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, we've got an episode of Breakpoint, and it's all edited and everything. I just got to convert it to MP3 and tag it and make the blog post. Yeah. And then I said, well, in order to make the blog post easier, I need to finish up some coding work. So, yeah, I guess I'm going to be working a little bit.
But, well, actually, I did my planning for the week, my planning for the week. And I was setting up all my tasks. And,
yeah.
And I was... I realized after I was done, I was like, oh yeah, we have Monday off and Monday has stuff to do. So
I kind of forgot too. Yeah. It wasn't until I was in my one-on-one with my boss and he said, have a nice 3-day weekend. I went, oops.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm all stacked up, but I'll do it. If I have to delay something, I'll delay it.
Well, one of the things he told me, he said in 2021, Chuck, try to take it a little easier. You got a lot of stuff done in 2020. And, I don't want you to get burned out. And I said, I love doing what I do. But he said, don't get burned out. And I started to feel that around the holidays. And then taking that mm-hmm. time off really did help, taking just a few days off. And yeah. For the first week of the year, because I don't have to get up on Mondays and Thursdays real early to start that live stream, I said, mm-hmm. This is kind of nice. I can sleep until 7, have a nice leisurely morning, start my workday at 8, end around 5. This is feeling kind of typical and a lot lighter than my 12 to 14 hour days that I was doing.
Right.
Well, then we got to this week. that just went right out the window.
Yeah.
Don says, it looks like you have a meeting at 9 p.m. on your calendar. It's like, yeah, well, I got to talk to somebody in India and Australia at the same time. Mm-hmm. So she said, okay, just make sure you keep track of that. So yeah. This last week was a little long.
You got to know when to say when and take, and throttle down a little bit.
Well, yeah. And I was heads down for about 2.5 days, which means everything else gets backed up. 2.5 days working on a project because I'm mashing together a couple of applications from a couple of different instances. So getting all that workflow and the automation and taking code from this app and converting it to that, it was a bit of work and it really felt good to get that done. And I did run into a couple of dead ends on my approach when I was importing some data, but I won't get into the nuts and bolts about that. That's for another podcast. For now, we do have a little bit of feedback, though, from our last episode. So let's play that feedback music.
All right. Letters. We got letters.
We get your letters every day. Mail today.
Reach right out and pull one out.
Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Take a drink. We got an email from Mad Marv.
Yes. First, since we're in the feedback segment.
We are in the feedback segment.
Amy Bowen says, wow, what a great piece of feedback to hear from your boss.
Take it easy.
Take a break.
Take a break.
Actually, I will say at our work, because we work at the same place, They have been pretty encouraging to, you know, step back, take a break if you need to, because everybody's working from home, not just the normal people that work from home. So yes, that is good advice. And, you know, listen to yourself and take a break when you need it.
Oh, and I generally do that. I mean, there are times when I've got to take an afternoon off to go to, you know, doctor appointment, or Donna wants to go furniture shopping or whatever. I mean, we can do that, schedule permitting. Mm-hmm. My biggest problem is it seems like my busy cycle is about 2 months out of phase with everybody else's. So when they're all saying, hey, we're between releases, everybody take some time off, I'm like, no, I'm ramping up for the biggest webinar episode of the 6 months. I'm working really hard in, say, June and July to get ready for that one episode at the end of July. And they're saying, oh, this is a good time off before we get into fall rush when we release in September. I'm way ahead of you. So then when everybody else is cramming to the finish line in September, I'm going,
Right.
That's what the hard part is. Like, how come you're not taking any time off? Because this is like tax time for me. It's not a time off.
Text.
All right. When did we talk about Ready Player 2? Was that last week? A week before?
2 weeks.
It was recently.
Yes.
Okay. In a recent episode, somewhere between 0600 and 625. That ought to cover us.
Yeah. No, it was like, maybe in last week or the week before.
So good friend, listener, and Patreon, Mad Marv, says, I read Ready Player 2 and I thought it was okay, but only okay. I won't give any spoilers, but this book didn't quite pull at the nostalgia heartstrings that the first book did.
Wait a minute.
Yes?
We read his email already.
Did we read this already?
Yeah.
It was from January 9th. I didn't think we got it in the last episode.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to check the show notes real quick? I got another one
real quick.
Go check 625 real quick, because I will read his other one then.
Okay. Yeah, read the other one first.
Read the other one. The other one is, he said, the length of days in relationship to snow. I guess, I'm only guessing, but I think it would be like an ice skater spinning and pulling their arms in to speed up versus extending their arms to slow down while maintaining the same angular momentum. Okay, we were talking about the earthquakes and the molten mantle and whatnot was causing the earth to deform and changing the length of the day by, what was it, like 2 microseconds or something?
Yeah, and I was trying to figure out how could snow, something that you didn't think would have that much density, would change the speed. Anyway.
If it's being distributed in a different place, like on the equator, but snow on the equator is pretty rare, kids. What he's talking
about.
Snowing
on the equator, just give up.
What he's talking about is the conservation of angular momentum. Yes, the skater thing. So water at sea level being redistributed as snow to higher elevations is similar to the ice skater's arms extending. Yes, kind of. If you think of the size of the earth as a basketball, crust of the earth is about as thin as a piece of paper. It's not that significant that the mountains are going to redistribute it. But I'll grant you that any dust speck on a basketball could change the weight distribution of that. So we will see. Also, he said the kit auction for that kind of, remember we were talking about the David Hasselhoff delivering kit. Oh, I did talk to Donna about that. She said no.
We don't have the budget for that.
Theoretically, we might have to make a few payments on it. She said, for that kind of money, I'd expect kit to deliver itself.
Good point. Yes.
It's not that far-fetched anymore. Ooh, self-driving kit, that would be fun. All right, did you find out whether or not we did that email before?
Yeah, we got his email in from
all right
time.
Apologies,
because I remember going saying that that's the way he worded it.
Yeah,
is how I agree with it. I thought it was pretty good.
Okay. But archived.
Yeah. There you go.
We will take that number 2 off the show notes. Our question of the week from this past week was, what movie or TV show or book after finishing it made you go, what the hell was that? Okay. Would you like to start with a Technorama answer or two while I go into my...
Yes.
Chuck
and I think somebody, was it on, oh, I saw the answer that I was going to give, but anyway, so on the Technorama page, John Miller Jr., disaster movie. He said, how did that qualify as a movie?
Okay. Grant Pachoco says, series of unfortunate events, which is a series by Lemony Snicket. I could see that.
Oh, here's the one I was thinking of. Although I loved it in a cult movie sort of way, the Return of the Killer Tomatoes.
You know, I heard a lot about that, but I'd never...
No. I liked Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, not Return of the Killer Tomatoes.
Oh, that was, okay. Okay.
Yeah, that was... Yes.
Let's see. Tiffany says The Leftovers. I don't remember The Leftovers.
I'm not familiar with that one. The movie Black Hole, Rob Reel, my buddy.
You know, I never saw that, but I knew it was a stinker from the start.
Oh, you know, I remember I was excited to see it in the theater as a kid, and I saw it, and I just remember it being long, and I felt like it was boring.
Oh, like Star Trek, the motion picture.
I like Star Trek, the motion picture better because I was already invested in those characters. You already knew them. This one, I was like, Maximilian was awesome. There was a few things, you know, the little, what was the little...
I want to say Seven's Arc Seven, but he was from Battle of the Planets. It was right. it was an R2-D2 ripoff, is what it was.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. Yeah, so
everybody thought they had to have a robot at that time.
I don't think I may have watched it once since I saw it in a theater.
My friend Diane says Phantasm. I still think about that movie occasionally and shake my head.
Hey, our buddy Steve London says. Memento. He says, the first time I saw Memento, I had a huge WTF feeling, but I saw it again and started to put things together, and it's a brilliant movie. I agree. The first time is kind of confusing because it's backwards. You know, it's told backwards. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that movie specifically, but I have seen movies like that.
Guy Pearce, his character, I can't remember the character's name, but he was trying to remember the things that led him to where... to what happened, and he had been tattooing himself, and he was remembering it backwards throughout the movie. Now there's a cut of the movie where it's chronological and makes more sense, of course, right off the bat. But and he said Snatched with Amy Schumer.
Clinton said TMP, the motion picture, and Black Hole came out within weeks of each other. Thanks, Clinton. Live chat as it happens. Gene Mikeley says Tenet. T-E-N-E-T. I have heard of that. I have not seen it yet.
I think that's another one where time is a factor as far as I haven't watched it either. Let's see. Oh, I shared this as well. Let's see. FX's Legion, Miguel Lopez says. The Midnight Sky, my buddy CJ Lamb.
Mark Erickson's, okay, keep this in mind. What movie, TV show, or book makes you go, what the hell was that? Mark Erickson says, all the news channels.
Agreed.
My sister says, my 10th grade math book.
Yeah. Jim Ryan said, Zardoz. Remember that one?
I remember the name vaguely, but I never saw it.
Sean Connery in the bikini looking...
That's
space.
Something I don't even want to try to imagine. Let's move on.
Oh, I'm going to send you a picture of this.
Oh, no, please don't.
You need to.
My cousin Jeffrey says the TV series Lost. I will admit it was okay for like the first season, maybe two. But then, you know, they get into the whole smoke thing and then the ending was just complete bunk. Yeah. So, yeah.
Never did watch Lost.
It was like Heroes. First season, wow, this is really cool. And then you start getting into it going, what did they do? This show used to be cool.
You know what? Those big epic kind of shows like that came out, I think they're Heroes and Lost. I think that first the problem was they didn't have a direction to keep going. So when it got popular, they didn't know what the end game was and they had to figure it out later on. And
not like TV shows today where... If they get a first season, they've got at least two or three more planned.
Well, or you better at least know what your end game is, you know.
Right. Yeah. Know when it's over, which is something this show doesn't do.
As you can see, 16 years later, we're still podcasting.
All right. Did you have any more?
Let's see. Mark Kilfoy says De Halgren by Samuel R. Delaney. It's been a couple of decades, so my recall on the plot is almost gone. How long is this? Oh, I'll read it real quick. Almost gone, but I will never forget that the book suddenly split into parallel narratives on parallel columns and seemed to be a circular story overall. The book was a failing part, the book was falling apart, handed to me wrapped in elastic band, in elastic band by a friend who said, "This is unreadable." I said, "Challenge accepted." I know I finished it, but I couldn't do a book report on it today, so I'm not sure I would be able to say I beat the challenge. So, really.
Well, that image of Sean Connery gave a comment from John Miller Jr. He says, "I just threw up a cupcake that I just threw up a cupcake that I ate back in the fifth grade." Thanks for the image, Craig.
Hey, John Miller Jr. Oh, thanks for that. I thought you meant, yeah, it's telling me thanks for that image. No.
All right, that takes care of it for the feedback. Let's push that button.
Another letter from our listeners.
I want to give a quick shout out to the Between Two Functions podcast. This is a podcast that was created by one of our ServiceNow developers in Australia, Andrew Albury-Dorr. He's a recent developer MVP. And Mark Scott, who used to be a customer, now works for ServiceNow. And it's not a ServiceNow podcast, but this is where they get a lot of their guests. It's an interview series. So far, Andrew has been doing the interviewing, but I know Mark is asking questions behind the scenes because they put together a series of questions and then unleash them on the poor unsuspecting guest live.
See, it is like Between Two Ferns.
I don't know what that reference means.
What? Zach Galifianakis did a web series on Funny or Die, and where it was Between Two Ferns, and he'd have a guest on, a famous guest. And I know this is all planned out, but they made they asked these embarrassing questions to the guest and made a very awkward interview. Most awkward interviews ever. You should go see some of them.
No, they don't. They don't try to embarrass the guest. They just
I'm just saying that's what Between Two Ferns did.
So I mean, if they know this guy's a coffee drinker, they'll say, "Hey, how do you like? You know, why are you so focused on this one brand of coffee?" And they'll get into that. But he ends the show, and I don't know if this is taken or inspired by Between Two Ferns, but he asks them about certain Australian phrases. He says, okay. All right, yeah, because there are a lot of them that, you know, us Americans have never heard before. Like,
You know what? I live in the South. There's a few here too.
If they ever ask me, I am going to fire some back.
Yeah.
But he says, you know, what's a bludger? And I'm like, it's not that thing from Harry Potter. Don't go there.
No. I was thinking a bludger. Sounds like something you hammer.
Or what does it mean to chuck a wobbly? I love the phrases. Okay. So
they got the trash. I don't know.
It's a lot of fun. The reason I mention it is because they've got like five or six podcasts out. They just launched before the holidays. And it's a fun listen. You don't have to go listen to it. But if you want, it's pretty short, usually about 30 minutes. But they actually called out that they used our book, Podcasting for Dummies, to help get them off the ground. And I thought that was cool because I don't really hear many of those stories about, hey, your book helped me launch my podcast. We've asked on the Podcasting for Dummies podcast, let us know. And, you know, maybe we can do an ID or something for you on the podcast. You know, kind of just help them out and show some love. But we rarely get people saying, your book helped me. I don't know what it is, but it was kind of cool to hear that. So thank you, Mark. Thank you, Andrew, for that. I have no idea if either of you listen to this podcast, but much appreciated that you gave Podcasting for Dummies some love. They mentioned me, and I think it was introducing, what was it? His interview with Brad Tilton. And they played this little piano music at the beginning. And Andrew says, Welcome to Breakpoint. I'm in Between Two Functions podcast. He starts announcing it like it's my podcast for work. Oh. So it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Right.
Had to just give a quick tip of the hat there. Let's do the history segment, shall we?
Well, yep. Let's do it.
We don't want to run out of time.
We got three bullet items here.
In the history segment, this is the 20th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. That means there are 345 days remaining in 2021. It was on this date in 1887 that the United States Senate allowed the Navy to lease Pearl Harbor. 1887, they allowed the Navy to lease Pearl Harbor as a naval base.
Wow. That same date in 1929, the first full-length talking motion picture filmed outdoors in Old Arizona was released.
I'm glad I live in New Arizona. I don't know what that means, Old Arizona.
New Arizona.
It was a talking picture, nevertheless, filmed outdoors. Right. Also on January 20th, 1986, in the United States, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, 1986. This is the first year it was celebrated as a federal holiday. How about that?
And you can tell it's early in the year because there's only three bullet items in the history part.
You know, I looked through some of these, and it's funny because when I'm going through the stuff for the karaoke one, it seems like there's lots of scientists and whatnot. And when I'm going through Technorama, it seems like there's lots of musicians. I'm like, no, what we lacked in historical events, we more than make up for in the birthday. So hang on, this is where it gets fun. Okay, German scholar, cartographer, and cosmographer Sebastian Münster was born on this date in 1488.
And Raphael Bombelli, Italian mathematician, was born on the same date in 1526.
Don't you just picture a corpulent guy with a Bombelli? Yeah.
Right.
German astronomer and academic Simon Marius was born. If he was German, it'd be Simon Marius. I don't know. He was born 448 years ago today. Happy birthday, buddy.
And Jean-Jacques Barthélemy, French archaeologist and numerologist, was born on the same date in 1716.
He was not a numerologist. He was a numismatist or numismatist. Oh,
excuse me. Numismatist. What is that?
That's a stamp collector.
Oh.
I knew you were going to ask that.
You looked it up.
No, earlier. I've known that for years. I've known. Is it a coin collector? Oh, rats. Now I got them mixed up. I think it's a coin collector. Yes. Because a numismatic collector, yes, collects coin. French physicist and mathematician André Marie Ampère. Guess what he discovered or invented?
Math.
The ampere, amp, electricity. It certainly wasn't Volta.
No, Volta.
Volta and ampere had a party and Watt showed up. He was born today in 1775.
And French physicist and mathematician André Marie. Wait.
I already did that one.
I just read that one. I'm sorry. I had the wrong one highlighted. Born January 20th, 1888. American folk blues musician and songwriter Led Belly.
Led, get in my belly. American engineer and businessman, founder of Alco Hydro Aeroplane Company. I don't think they're around anymore. Alan Haynes Lughead. He was born on the state in 1889.
Lughead sounds like a plane. Something you'd call a plane.
Lughead sounds like a good band name.
Yeah, it does. Harold Gray, the American cartoonist, created Little Orphan Annie, was born 126 years ago today.
That'd be 127 years ago, Alex.
Oh, what'd I say?
You said 126.
Oh, sorry.
Greek shipping magnate Aristotle Onassis. Yes, Jackie O's husband. He was born today in 1906.
And Nevin Scrimshaw, American scientist, was born on the same date in 1918.
He's the guy they named that's sketching on the whalebone on the
Thought the Scrimshaw was that thing that the guy holds the little thing, rides around town.
That's a rickshaw. Moving on. American actor DeForest Kelly was born 101 years ago today.
Well, American actress Patricia Neal was born on this date in 1926.
Quick, where do you know Patricia Neal from?
Star Trek.
No, she's the lady on the day the Earth stood still.
Oh, right. Yes.
Artie Johnson, American actor and comedian, was born on that same date in 1929. You know, somebody's going to win a piece of a pie on Trivial Pursuit by listening to Technorama someday. I want to hear about that.
One day. And Art Johnson, American actor and comedian, was born on the same date in 1929.
That'd be Artie Johnson. Didn't you watch your laugh in?
Artie.
Very interesting, but stupid. We need that as a sound clip on this show.
Oh, that's next. All right, we'll get that.
Also turning 91 today is American Colonel Pilot and astronaut Buzz Lightyear. No, Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Lightyear. And also born on the same date in 1931, American physicist and academic Nobel Prize laureate David Lee.
Roth.
Roth. Yeah.
American singer, yeah. Songwriter, guitarist, and producer Paul Stanley is 69.
And also turning 65 today is American comedian, political commentator, media critic, television host, producer Bill Maher.
Also born on that same date in 1960, American video game designer, co-founded Maxis, Will Wright.
An American computer hacker and activist, co-founded MindVox, Patrick K. Kupra, is 52 today.
Indian computer engineer Ruchi Sanghvi is... who's born today in 1982. That's the way it was. We'll do the birthdays right after the band marches out of here. We're cutting a little close. Listener birthdays this week include Michael Rabelais on the 21st. 22nd is TAW012294. Why aren't you at your post?
He was an extra droid on Star Wars.
I think we say that every year. TK423, why aren't you at your post? Kathy Luke from Illinois is, or is it the city of Kathy from Luke, Illinois? No, I don't know. On the 23rd, also on the 23rd, Chris Moody from Podio Media Chat. Keith Lane from TG Geeks is on the 23rd. Yes. Cynthia Fry on the 24th. Some other guy on the 25th.
Yeah, yeah. Some jerk. It's me.
Yes. Oh. Yes, it's you. Craig Stepp is on the 25th, and on the 26th, Will, the computer guy. That's happy right. Birthday to all of you. If it is your birthday this week, we wish you all the best and hope that you can go over to, you know, I never took down the pre-show banner. I really am not too good at this driving the keyboard thing.
Hey,
let's do the.
So I think somebody mentioned this earlier, but yes. You and I are reversed on our videos tonight.
It was that way last week, too. It's just the way that Zoom did it. I have no idea how it picks them.
You can drag them around, by the way. You know that?
I think you have to upgrade to like version 5.2.5 or something.
Are you not?
You know, I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, I can drag them around, but it just put you back in the same spot there. Oh, yeah. Wow. I feel so much better. Now Craig's over there. Whatever.
Well,
okay. Yeah. Thanks, because I need to know that in the middle of a podcast that I can.
Well, when we're handing the remote to one another, it's not going to work.
Hey, you just stick out your arm. I'll move the screens around to accommodate.
It doesn't work. Yeah, I'll just do it.
Nail you to the cross on that one. Happy birthday. Go over to chuckchat.com/wiki or chuckchat.com/birthday and get your birthday in the birthday calendar. Go bing, and turn that banner off. All right, it's finally 28 minutes into the show, we're going to get to some news. So I'm going to pick a random blue button here.
Good startling news, everyone.
Would you like to begin?
Sure. This is actually a two-parter because I got two links in here for this one. But with this new extension, Juno, not my dog, Juno. Juno is going to be visiting Jupiter's moons. Let me enlarge the font a little bit. I don't know why that's kind of small. The Juno mission to Jupiter has been extended to September 2025, or however long the spacecraft can keep operating around Jupiter. While Juno is so far focused on attention on the its attention on the giant planet alone, the mission's extension will include observations of Jupiter's rings and large moons, with targeted observations and close flybys planned of the moons of Ganymede and Europa and Io. This will be the first close flybys by the moon since the Galileo missions from 1995 to 2003.
Cool.
So one of the most exciting things about this mission, the extension said Scott Bolton, Juno's principal investigator, principal investigator of the planets. Speaking in September 2020 at a meeting of NASA's Outer Planets Advisory Group, I hope they were wearing masks. Sorry. It's a meeting. Anyway, he says it is going, the mission is going where we are going to, and is going, is
would you like to try going, that again or pass the baton?
Here you go. One of the exciting things about the mission is we're going to go and visit the satellites and the rings. It really becomes a full system explorer, not as focused on the prime mission as it was. So it feeds potentially a more diverse community because the satellite geologist and the ring people. sounds like he's talking about something with Lord of the Rings, the ring people. They all get data, and I think it's very interesting and unique.
I was distracted by the ad on the right-hand margin of the Universe Today's Ultimate Guide to Viewing the Cosmos, which is by David Dickinson and Fraser Cain.
Oh, yeah.
Forward by Dr. Pamela Gay.
So, now, the second article I put in here was related. The Juno spacecraft discovers FM radio signal coming from Jupiter, from the Jupiter's moon, excuse me. I guess they hadn't discovered podcasts yet. The Juno spacecraft orbiting Jupiter has discovered an FM radio signal coming from the moon Ganymede, a finding that marks the first time detection from the moon, according to KTLA sister station KTVX in Salt Lake City, Utah. It is not ET, says Patrick Wiggins of NASA's Ambassadors to Utah. It's more of a natural function.
Mm-hmm.
So Juno was traveling across the polar region of Jupiter, where magnetic field lines connect to Ganymede, where it crossed the radio source. Specifically, it called a dichromatic radio emission.
Or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, you can go read all the details about that. But which kind of the reason I put it in here is because it kind of feeds into the, hey, we need to go over there and check these things out. I think it's really cool that they repurposed it into a ship, and then something like this comes up.
I thought we already discovered FM radio signals from Jupiter and Saturn when Voyager went by.
Well, they did say that on Ganymede, they have detected this once before, but now's the first time that they were able to,
See. This is from an FM signal from Ganymede.
Yes.
Not from the planet. Okay.
Right. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, they said they recorded it years ago. I mean, here you go. According to Britannica.com, that's still a thing? Britannica.com. Jupiter's radio emissions were discovered in 1995, and over the last 66 years, more and more discoveries have been made about those weak signals. Now they're seeing it on Ganymede. So,
okay. Well, let's get into something that's a little more theoretical, I suppose. Some scientists believe black holes aren't all the same, and that some are really wormholes. To find out, we'll need a way to tell the difference with certainty. In a new paper, Russian scientists posit that the right blast of gamma radiation could reveal wormholes in black hole disguise. Ooh, sheep and wool. No, wolf in sheep's clothing.
It's like a song or something. A
black hole in disguise?
Yeah. Black hole in...
They're all in disguise. None of them in the ground. They're all in disguise.
You didn't sing that last night?
How would a black hole wormhole work? The answer is actually relatively simple. And it also reveals why such a wormhole would have a detectable physical tell. Space's Charles Q. Choi explains, any matter falling into a mouth of a supermassive wormhole would likely travel at extraordinarily high speeds due to its powerful gravitational fields. The scientists modeled the consequences of matter flowing through both mouths of a wormhole to where these mouths meet, the wormhole's, quote, throat. The result of such collisions are spheres of plasma expanding out both mouths of the wormhole at nearly the speed of light, the researchers said. I have no idea what any of that meant, but it sounds really cool, like stuff exploding in the middle and shooting out the ends. Don't, no, stop, no.
Is that a quote?
I know what that chuckle meant. This outburst, in the literal sense, is what scientists can look for. The spheres of plasma from wormholes can reach temperatures of about 18 trillion degrees Fahrenheit. That's, of course, if you do your conversion, it's only 10 trillion degrees Celsius, so it sounds like a colder day. Choi writes, at such heat, the plasma would produce gamma rays with energies of 68 million electron volts. This radiation signature is distinct from even the most powerful and radiative known kinds of black holes. Because of that, the fingerprint could immediately tell scientists they were looking into a wormhole. Okay, more fascinating stuff.
You know, it's hard to even fathom 18 trillion degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah.
Don't touch. Don't touch. It's hot.
Oh, by the way, that would be 10 trillion Celsius.
All right. This is a bit of a long article and has lots and lots of pictures, but you want to give us the flavor of it because it looks like it's right out of that episode of Black Mirror.
There you go.
I thought it's your turn to read.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were finishing up the last article.
No, I'm done.
No. So who wants a robot dog?
I was introducing you to the next story. That's the Black Mirror.
And, you know, last week was the CES. And during a week and a half.
We kind of missed it.
I guess the last week. They were doing, you know, they were rolling out all kinds of stuff for CES. You know how it is. They always show products and stuff that are potential in the future. You're not necessarily going to be products, but maybe almost like a car show, you know, where they show you the prototypes. Anyway, right here, Samsung's robot dog is an intriguing faceless smart pet for your surveillance needs.
Does it come with a gun mounted on its body?
You could, you know, a little epoxy. You
could duct tape the shotgun to it.
Okay. Yeah, I love these pictures though. So let me zoom in here a little bit. So we're in 2021, and so far it has been one crisis after another. What truly gives me hope is the time I spend with my dog. It is in a moment away from chaos, and I often wonder if my dog knows what's happening around us. No, unless you're giving it a treat. Do our pets have a sixth sense for disasters as they do for our emotions? Dogs are one of the most intelligent domestic companions to have, and our furry friends truly form an inexplicable
Explicable. It's a hard.
Yeah, whatever. Explicable. I'm having trouble reading tonight. So, bond with us, which leads me to this: what is the future of our robot dogs? So, devoid of real feelings, but with advancing AI, they will surely be smarter than and more efficient. Dog bots will probably be a hybrid of smart pet and a household assistant, and I imagine features like security cameras for eyes. While still being sweet enough to bring your newspaper, and waking up in the morning.
I can see the newspaper thing. This thing has some kind of screen on its face. The dog would just come up, right? Stand on your bed and show you
a Facebook notification. It comes up and gets
USA
in your
Today. Right. And then you flick and scroll past its face.
Yeah. Anyway, I just thought that was funny. Newspaper.
Digital robot. Digital dog. I put a little fur on this thing and I might be interested.
That's right. Anyway, you can go look at the concepts. There's these robot prototype dogs. It almost looked like the robot from the Boston Dynamics, you know,
put a skin on this thing. You can't see all the wires and hinges.
Which is smart, I think, because it does make it look a little more appealing. But they don't have a head per se. It's like they cut the neck off of a dog.
That's kind of the creepy part. Yeah.
So yeah, it does look a little weird. But anyway, you can go check out the pictures. I thought it was kind of neat. Anyway. But can you imagine having something like that in your house?
I could.
And when you're away, you know, that way if there was a noise, they could walk over there and kind of look around and inspect.
I'd be interested in one of these.
Would you? All right.
I would also want to hack it.
Hey, look, I made it roll over. I tell you, that along this kind of thing, like in the, I was thinking of surveillance in your house. So if you had a house big enough, you could go, around and keep eye on things if, someone's making a noise or whatever. But, I thought, I don't know what the status of it is, but remember Amazon, their Ring products, they have that, indoor, drone that you could fly around. It had a camera on it and you could land it, back in the cradle. It would be there. If so, there's a noise, like somebody broke a window, it would go over, it could go over there and record right there.
By that time, the guy with the crowbar is swinging at the drone. That's a great idea. Now he's cost you multiple expenses.
But the picture was uploaded, so.
Maybe.
I don't know. I thought that was a neat idea as well. Yeah, go check out these concept pictures of the robot dogs.
Did they say how much?
No. If you have no, the let's see, the quote is, if you have to ask, you can't afford it. Yeah. It's
oh yeah? Sounds like a challenge to me.
Here. I'm gonna write a check right here.
A check? What century do you live in? Just put down the plastic.
The one where the AI dogs bring me a newspaper.
Apparently so.
Bring my checkbook, dog.
Will he dial the telephone for you too?
Maybe.
All right, let's move on to the Hacks and Strange Stories. You found us a story to hack together your own e-paper smartwatch.
See, I thought you could appreciate this.
For $500 with an open source kit. All right. If you've ever wanted to be like Steve Wozniak and have your own custom-made geeky watch.
$50. You said $500.
No, did I say $500? $50 open source kit. All right. Well, $50 sounds much better. Not sure you get all this stuff, but okay. Squarafumi. Stylized as SQFMI. Why can't people spell normal words for their companies? Were they all taken?
Let's leave the vowels out. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll save money because you pay domain registration by the letter, apparently.
Yeah.
They may have a product for you, an open source Arduino powered smartwatch with a 1.54 inch e-paper screen. It's called the Watchy.
Hey, they could come up with that name, but look at the name of their company.
Exactly. They spent their whole budget on the company name and not the product name. Bad idea. And both the hardware and the software are completely customizable. You can, however, use it right out of the box, as the PCB acts as the body and has points to attach a watch strap. And on top of that, it's only $50. On sale for $45 at the time of this writing.
Hmm, okay.
The SQFMI, squiff me. I'm just going to make up new pronunciations because I don't like the other one.
Squiff me. That doesn't sound good.
Squeef me?
Squiff me, squiff you.
Squeef my? Okay. Has sections for watch faces and cases, but at the moment, they both only say coming soon. So if you're thinking about this watch, you definitely want to make sure you're ready for a DIY project. Oh, and there's also the fact that the watch doesn't come assembled. You have to put it together yourself, which is kind of what some assembly required me. The 200 by 200 display, PCB, and 200 milliamp hour battery together. There's Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, a three-axis accelerometer, and four buttons that can be used for navigation or whatever other functions you can dream up. There's a nice little picture in here. You know, that's a pretty compact PCB design.
Very nice. I mean, I know we're kind of picking on it, but it reminds me of the Pebble. That's why I thought you'd appreciate it.
Speaking of which, you remember who bought Pebble?
Fitbit.
You know who just bought Fitbit?
Google.
That's right. That was news this week. I got an email right from the founder of Fitbit. Said,
"Oh, you did?
We've been sucked up by the Google monster."
I knew it was coming. I think they were waiting on a lot of regulatory stuff because of the amount of data that Fitbit collects that they were worried about Google grabbing all that data. So, you know, for ads and whatever else they're going to do with it. So they had to come up with something to satisfy the regulatory people in Europe and the U.S.
They did put in a micro USB charger, so it's got a nice standard connection to it. Don't expect anything like waterproof or anything.
No.
When they say open source, they mean open.
Wide open. I don't know. I thought it was kind of neat for $50. You know, something to play with. Why not?
Sure. Because everybody loves Arduino coding, don't they?
I've never done Arduino coding.
Get ready for old school, man.
Really?
Yeah. It's not bad. It's kind of fun.
Well, you've been doing some Pi stuff on Pi, so.
Well, yeah. Before that, I was doing stuff on Arduinos, too. My Pi stuff I prefer to do in Node-RED. But the Arduino stuff, you have no choice. You're doing their, what is it, their C++ thing. And it's rather simplistic on the surface. But there's like a setup function, which is your one-time run it to get going, where you do all your initialization. And then there's a function called loop. And it's just going to run that thing infinitely. So there is no done with your program, because it's a controller. It's going to be controlling something.
Sure.
It's always going to be checking sensors and uploading that.
But technically, it's always in a loop.
It's always running. Yeah. So that's, there's getting libraries working is a bit of a fun time, you know, kind of like any other language where you go, oh, just download this library from the internet and get it up and running. And sometimes not really. There's,
wait a minute. That's been my experience with, you know, Linux in the past. It's like, okay, I go down like 6 rabbit holes to install some stupid app.
Exactly. That old adventure game kind of feel.
It's much easier. Now it's not a big deal, but it used to be a pain in the butt before all the package managers were around.
It is a tightly typed language too. So it will drive you nuts going, what do you mean? It is a character pointer. It's like, no, you stumble over those things till your head is bloody from banging it on the wall.
Yeah, right.
All right, let's go on. We are running a little long tonight, so let's go to we did the Hacks and Strange Stories. Shout out to the chat room. Let's give a quick shout. I already mentioned Dhruv is over there. We've had a couple of people popping in and out of YouTube, but I have not seen any other names, so we'll just leave them as anonymous.
I see Gary Lindros, John Miller Jr.,
Amy Bowen, Craig Glasner.
Yep.
What else we got?
Mike Robinson.
Yep. Elton Chapman. Hey, guys, did y'all exchange homes? Oh, yeah, he's the one who said we were backwards on the screen.
Oh, he said, did y'all exchange homes?
Clinton Alvord. And I think that's it for what I see tonight. So there may have been other people popping in and out. Thank you very much. We did have, I might have forgotten to share this thing, but I know somebody did because there was one share up there. And it was, it says one share, but then I hover over one share and it has 4 names. Okay.
Something's not updated.
Facebook can't count. Yeah, something's not up because it also says one comment, but obviously we've got lots of comments in there. So let's move on. Thank you very much. We do this show Sundays at 9:30 Eastern time. So if you want to join us, put a thing on your calendar. You're more than welcome. Turn on those notifications on Facebook or YouTube and you will get notified when we go on the air. And we are looking at a way of communicating on those rare occasions now. I know it's rare because we're not really traveling for business, but occasionally Craig goes off to his mountain cabin and doesn't come back.
Well, you know, I'm preparing for the zombie apocalypse. If I got to skip town.
That was last year. Okay. 2021 is all about healing and getting back together. Yeah. No, those days are gone. Okay.
You keep saying that. Maybe we'll start to believe it. I'm just kidding.
We'll see what social media network blows up next about that.
That's right.
Hey, all you zombies, meet at the Capitol building.
Right.
Oh, we kind of tried that already once.
No, that already happened.
Let's do the remember when thing, though, because this is the part where we go and we look at some old stuff, and we have a wonderful video for you. It's a little long in spots.
It's Star Trek The Experience. It is October 10th.
Yeah, there they go. They just told you what it is. Star Trek The Experience from 1997, when it was still under construction and behind the scenes. They're on the bridge of the Enterprise, and there's all this audio gear laid out. And there's,
how can Picard see anything?
There's plastic coverings on the chairs, and the carpets are all covered so they don't get scuffed by the time the experience opens, which is still, about a year away? I mean, it looks really good for what they've got. I think they tested that transporter effect 100 times in this video. Like, you really do understand. What did you notice?
The main reason I showed this, somebody posted it on Facebook, and we visited the experience, and we did the behind the scenes tour, and it was a lot of fun. Now, granted, the video I had is kind of a little bit on the dark side. Here during the construction, it's lit up, so you can see what's going on, especially the transport. You can get the idea from our video, but this one you can actually see, which is very fascinating to see when that little plate comes sliding out and the wall goes sliding up.
I remember the effects, but I don't remember a whole lot of the storyline until I watched this video again. Like, oh yeah, Picard was just sitting right there. He was taken away because the Klingons captured you. One of you must be his descendants, and they're trying to disrupt the timeline, so we have to get you back to where you're going. Then I honestly forgot about the whole turbo lift thing, too. Like, where was the turbo lift? Oh, yeah! And then when they started going through it, it brought back some memories of what was going on. But it was funny to see these guys walking around with their scripts, checking the timing, because they had to make sure everything was timed. The effects were timed. The audio was timed. The live actors that were there, it's like, hey, everybody okay down there? And then the live actor would say, yeah, we're fine. Sorry about the rough ride, Riker says. So it was a lot of fun to rewatch this and get back into that whole mentality. You know,
if you want to watch that video is online. You can just watch the clips. You know, somebody strung them all together. Same thing with the Borg one. You can watch the whole thing. What's funny is if you look at, while I was watching the transport, or the work on the transporter, there's a guy leaning on the console, and then off to the side, you know, this is the scene that you normally would see in the show, you know, the transporter, and off to the side, this lady's just sitting there with a folding table.
Yeah. they're panning around going, ooh, this looks like, you know, the real shuttle. And some guy walks into the scene and then slowly backs out like, oh, someone's filming here.
Or ducks. You know, he tries to duck under him.
There's one guy you see in the transporter testing scenario who has the most awesome mullet.
Yeah, I know. Right.
Very 97 right there. Yeah. You know, I'm sure all these guys and ladies that have helped out on this, they've aged 25 years like the rest of us.
Yeah, right. Hey, by the way, Clinton Alvord brings up a good point. We talk about this and other stuff. If you're not familiar, we do another podcast with Clinton. So as three of us do the Topic is Trek at the Topic is Trek.
Oops, I had the volume down for the music. I'll do that again.
Yeah.
It was there. There.
There you go. Topicistrek.com. And we talk about everything Star Trek. And so you're welcome to come join us over there. Go over there and subscribe.
Nice.
But yeah, that video was great. Huh?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was a bit long in spots, I'll admit. I did jump ahead a little, like scrubbing, saying, they're still doing the transporter, still doing the transporter. Oh, we're on the turbo lift. And everybody has to do the shaky camera thing on the turbo lift.
Right. And maybe I'll link to it. I got pictures from our trip there too. A lot of little details, like the tags on the wall.
You know what? They didn't have the tags in the video yet. They hadn't finished all the detailing on the set.
I didn't notice that.
As soon as they stepped out of the transporter and went down that hall, because towards the end of the video, they're showing around one guy in a suit. You know who's paying the check, right? He's there for his monthly status update on the project. Yeah, so
what do we got going on here?
And they walk down the hall and like, the red stickers aren't on the panels yet. So those were there. So it was kind of fun watching this right before they opened and then comparing it to our video right before they closed.
That's right. Cause remember they added a whole nother, part of the show, the Borg, not a Borg experience, the Borg,
attack or something.
Like that.
And the Las Vegas Hilton was still the Las Vegas Hilton before it was the LVH, before it was the Westgate, before the monorail obscured the sign.
Yeah.
There were a lot of things that, wow.
You know, since we went there, since the time we went there, I take pictures of it says the Hilton and the sign on the outside, like you just mentioned before, the monorail is now in place where it would obscure that. So it's been a couple of years now. I got the book over here. This guy was doing a book on Las Vegas, mm-hmm. and he asked for my permission to use my picture in the book.
Nice.
I was like, yeah, fine. He was supposed to give me a credit in the book. I never did see it, which is not an artistic picture, so I didn't really care that much.
Yeah.
But he did send me a copy of the book. So
that was nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Quick thank you to our patrons, because they keep this show going, and we've got a special announcement this week. Because thanks to Alexis Duran, Amber Elstead, Amy Bowen, thank you, Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown. We gotta check in with Brian. Haven't heard from him in a while. Thank you, Chris MC, Dandy Man Coyer, Danny Mortensen, Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis, Gary Lindros, Harold McKinstry. Thank you, John Clifford and John Noble, and Jorga Schrauen and Christina. Thank you, Kyle Nishioka, a.k.a. Mad Marv. Thank you, Leon, a.k.a. Leon. Thank you, Mark Kilfoyle, Mike Wills, and our newest Patreon member this week. Special thanks to our newest Patreon member, Chris Martinez. So we should also throw in an applause if I can find it there somewhere. There we go. Saturday Morning Media, Stephen Weshy, Steve Therian, Spiffy, Steve Cody, and Steve London. Thank you very much, everybody, for your generous contributions. In addition to getting your name on every podcast like this, with huge, huge appreciation and thanks, you also get a special episode of Technorama where we have a discussion. It could be about gadgets we've purchased. It could be about projects we're in the middle of. It could be about just philosophical things we want to wax poetically about. That's what we talk about for another, 15 to 30 minutes. Because
we're deep like that.
Yeah.
We're deep people.
It does not have any audio production except for the beginning and the ending. We just want to get you the straight dope right out of our heads and into your ear holes.
You make it sound so appealing.
It is. If you are interested, then I recommend you go over to...
You can pick up an application and fill it out in triplicate and send it over to...
Fax it over to... Patreon.com/Technorama Podcast is where you go to get that fax number. I'm just kidding. Doesn't that drive you nuts when you see something and you go, please fax this back? I'm like, the hell you say?
I know. Every once in a while, you'll still hear somebody ask for a fax.
Dear Lord. A lot of times it's lawyers because they need a hard copy signed.
I can scan in a check written to me and deposit it. Why do I need to fax anything?
I can sign a book contract with an Adobe PDF and just swipe my finger around. And that's a legally binding contract. So
you just
the heck with faxes anymore.
That's right.
All right, I'm going to get the people out of here. Patreon.com/Technorama Podcast is where you go for that. All right, real quick, you're going to have to make this short because we are 2 minutes from the hour mark.
All right.
Craig's watching a show, and I've heard mixed reviews about this, so I'm curious to see what your take is.
Okay. So I started, just like everybody else, there's two episodes of WandaVision. So this isn't going to be a review because I think there's a total of 9 episodes.
Okay.
And that'll be coming out. So WandaVision is about Wanda Maximoff and Vision from, the Marvel Universe. And, of course, Vision died in Endgame.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. So I'm trying to figure they haven't been giving us a lot of stuff. We're trying to figure out what the deal is, but do you see them in the episode kind of a TV show that's set up like Dick Van Dyke? And the second episode is a little bit more like Bewitched. So they're kind of progressing through the decades through television. Of course, they're going to get into color, which they changed over, and start progressing through other shows. But there's an underlying story going on, and then it's like a little mystery, and they're kind of pulling it out. So there's an underlying mystery thread that's, in these shows, and the shows all have, these little ads in the middle of it, mm-hmm. custom ads, which look period specific. which is kind of neat, but they also feed into that mystery. So I enjoyed it. I thought they did a great job with making it black and white. They filmed it in front of a live studio audience, so you get the people laughing. They used a period cameras to make it black and white look genuine. Mm-hmm. So I think they're going the extra mile to make this look right. I thought it was pretty good the first two episodes, so I'm looking forward to it. I know a lot of people were like, I'm done. I'm not really into it. But hey, it's only two episodes.
That's what I heard too, is people were saying, you know, kind of Truman Show-ish that they didn't really care for it. So I'll be interested to see.
I think as it goes on, they're going to break out of the show part a little bit, but we'll have to see. I want to know where it goes, and I'm into it enough to find out. And I thought they did a great job making the black and white episodes look good. You know, got my attention.
All right, let's finish up with one more from the media corner.
Yeah, this one ought to be kind of quick.
Welcome to Blockhead Video. Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things? Over here in the media corner.
Rather than releasing any new cameras for CES 2021, Canon is doing something different, letting you take pictures from space. The company has unveiled an interactive site that allows you to use its CESAT-1 satellite, equipped with a lightly modified 5D Mark III DSLR. Hopefully some of those letters meant something to some of you. To grab simulated photos of locations including New York, the Bahamas, and Dubai. Canon launched the wine barrel-sized microsatellite back in June of 2017. Hopefully they took the wine out of it.
They drank it first. Let's celebrate.
It holds an EOS 5D Mark III camera that is fitted with a 40-centimeter Cassegrain type mirror, 3,720-millimeter telescope. Yikes. Put that on your sports camera, sports fans.
Try and hold that, take a picture.
Even with the tripod mount on the lens, you are 40 feet behind the pod.
Okay. That's right.
It gets such close-ups because the lens is close up to the person.
Yeah.
Orbiting at 600 kilometers or above the Earth, or 375 miles, it provides about a 36-inch ground resolution within a 3-by-2-mile frame. Canon claims, by contrast, the world's highest resolution satellite, WorldView 4, can resolve down to 12 inches.
Okay, wow. So
it's about 3 times bigger than that. But it also houses a PowerShot S110 for wider images. The interactive demo allows you to take images from multiple locations, with each shot showing the location and altitude of the image. However, it uses pre-captured imagery, so you're not actually grabbing live or unique photos. If it was live, CESAT-1 would be zipping around the Earth at nearly 17,000 miles per hour, circling the globe in just over an hour and a half, which is about the same speed as the ISS.
Mm-hmm.
The demonstration does give you a feel for the satellite's capabilities and resolution, however. The experience is narrated by astronaut Marsha Ivins, who explains the satellite's purpose and design. Oh, if only Sigourney Weaver were narrating that.
I know, right?
The microsatellites are much smaller and cheaper than regular satellites, and Canon hopes to build a $1 billion business around them by 2030. After launching the CESAT-1 in 2017, Canon attempted to launch an updated CESAT-1B. Sounds like a firmware version now.
Yeah.
They tried doing that last summer. However, it was lost when Rocket Lab's Electron rocket failed shortly after launch.
Hey, scanning this, the last paragraph with my eyes, I saw the letter B in the SAT-1B.
Yes.
In summer, and I saw a bummer. Which?
That's why I read that story, kids. Okay, question of the week before we go. What are some red flags that the movie that you're... What should have been, what were some red flags that the movie that you were about to watch was bad? We got a verb tense thing.
What are some red flags that the movie that you're about to watch is bad.
That the assumes trailer. We're about to watch a movie, but we're not about to watch a movie. It was something that you would, the trailer. Michael Bay. Okay, we will leave that for you to ponder. We'll fix the grammatical issues and post that on social media next weekend. And we are off to record our Patreon show. So that means we roll the music. Thank you for joining us once again. Thank you, Craig, for finding these stories and putting them in here. We tried our best. Honestly, we did. Maybe we'll have it by show 627.
Hey, I fight for the listeners.
Wait, does that mean you're trying to get listeners or you're going to battle as their representative?
I'm sorry. I was watching Tron and,
fight
for the users.
I'm just going to give you
one. Yeah, I'll fight for them. Hey, don't say anything bad about any of our listeners. I'll fight you for it.
Get a hold of us on listener line 707-530-2428. We'd love to hear from you or email us technorama@chuckchat.com. Find all the information over at chuckchat.com/technorama or search Technorama Podcast on the internet. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama and give us a big binary high five, Craig.
All right. 101. Thank you for listening.